It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina, in for Kate Archer Kent. Muslim community members are organizing against racial injustice. They're demonstrating and rallying to talk about the problems they see as people protest nationwide, and they're starting conversations about what needs to happen next. Our guests are two people encouraging Muslims to stand up for what's right. Sumaya Abdi is a protest organizer and a nursing student at UW Milwaukee. Sumaya, thank you for joining us this morning.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
And Othman Atta is the director of the Islamic Society of Milwaukee. Othman, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Julie.
And we do have a line for you available to join our conversation about what you see. 800-642-1234. How has the coronavirus pandemic changed how you or your Muslim brothers and sisters worship? Have you participated in a protest against police brutality driven by your faith? Help us understand at 800-642-1234 as we all talk about what this means for us. We should, though, start with the protests. Sumaya, your protest against police brutality, you helped organize this. It brought attention to the deaths of George Floyd, of Breonna Taylor, other people of color who have died at the hands of police. Why did you decide to step up and organize this?
I think it's a matter of why not? Why should we not stand up? You know, if we have platforms, if we have voices, we should let everyone know how we feel and that, you know, this isn't right as a country. We shouldn't be supporting this. And I feel like as youth, as administrators, as government officials, we all should have a say and, you know, give our opinions and let our voices be heard about the injustices happening in our communities and our states.
How did you know, though, that you needed to step up and organize? I think a lot of people are saying we need to do something about this, but not everyone is taking a leadership role in this. And you're 19, right?
Yeah, I'm 19.
So what about this moment said, I need to organize this, I need to lead here, when there are so many people right now actually speaking up about the same thing?
I feel like, you know, we see all these protests happening and you just kind of question, you know, hey, I'm in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, you know, why can't I do it? So, like, it was kind of like Dana brought up, my other co-organizer, Dana Shalawi, she brought it up and we're like, hey, this would be a good idea. And we could show the families of all the ones who've lost, you know, lives, police brutality, that, hey, you know, our city supports you guys. We hear you guys. Our religion supports you guys. And we hear you guys.
The protest that you organized, how did you think it turned out?
I actually thought it was a great turnout. I wasn't expecting that many people. You know, there's people like different colors, different races, ethnicities, religions, backgrounds. And, you know, everybody was just there to make their voices heard and to get their points across that, you know, this isn't right.
Sumaya, how did your faith play into this work?
Our faith, like, always kind of tells us, you know, like, all humans, God created every single human equally, you know, and that, like, if one, we kind of represent this metaphor where, like, if one part of the body's in pain, then, you know, the whole body's in pain, and we embody that as, like, a community. You know, if one part of our community is in pain, we're also in pain. So it's our duty to speak up and, you know, do anything in our ability to help out or, you know, let our voices be heard.
Othman, were people who are part of the Islamic Society of Milwaukee participating in this march that was organized?
Absolutely. As Sumaya mentioned, we had people coming in from different backgrounds, different races, different ethnicities, and even, you know, different segments of society. There were physicians that actually left their work and came in, and there were business people and, you know, just students and many others. So it was really an awesome, protest, and Sumaya and Dana did a great job.
You mentioned the diversity of people in the crowd, and yet this is organized because people of the Muslim faith are saying we need to do something now. So how does the experience of that religion really influence the decisions that people make when they decide to stand up or to stay quiet?
You know, I think that the Muslim community has itself experienced some, you know, discrimination and racism and bigotry, especially post 9/11. And unfortunately, even at the highest levels of this administration. So we have a really small kind of taste of what has been experienced by the African-American community. Clearly, the African-American community, they've been experiencing it for centuries, much more serious discrimination and racism and bigotry. But I think that the Muslims said, you know, look, we need to stand out. We need to, you know, kind of come out and express our support for any kind of racism that exists. And the most enduring, longest-lasting racism, unfortunately, in this country has been the racism against the black community.
We are talking with Othman Atta, who is the director of the Islamic Society of Milwaukee. We also have Sumaya Abdi here, who's a protest organizer and also a student in college. And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Did you take part in the protest march in Milwaukee last Wednesday that was organized by members of the Islamic Society of Milwaukee? What pushed you to turn out? Maybe you had to miss it. What do you think about the protests, and how would you like to see people of the Muslim faith influence what's happening right now? Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Sumaya, what did you hear from other people who attended the protest? What was the response?
Everybody had a positive feedback. Everyone was really happy about the turnout. Like, you know, they're happy that we put this all together and that we just, you know, we wanted everybody to be there and support.
And do you have a crowd estimate or understand what people are going to do now that protest is done, but there's still work to do?
Yeah, I've been getting, like, texts and messages and stuff like that where people are like, you know, because there's, like, so many black lives that have been taken, and just, the list just keeps going and new names keep appearing. And everybody just, like, is in this thirst for, like, justice. And people, like, you know, some people want to make protests. I know some people are trying to do murals and stuff like that. Everybody just wants to see the change now that we're actually seeing some sort of change.
So the protest is certainly not an isolated event. Things need to keep up the momentum, I guess, Sumaya.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Othman, has the Milwaukee Muslim community participated in other protests? Is this something that your members typically do?
I mean, over the year, we've participated in all kinds of different protests with many different groups. There was, for example, Voces de la Frontera. There were protests with, you know, peace groups against legislation, you know, that we may have opposed. So the Muslim community has been involved in protests. This one with the Black Lives Matter, this is something I think that the Muslim community has said we really need to get involved more in this. And to kind of build up on what Sumaya was saying, I mean, the protests are one thing, and I think that anyone who witnessed the murder of George Floyd could not but feel that they had to do something. And the same thing when we saw what happened to Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor. I mean, if you're human, you have to act. And so it's not just the protests. I think it's moving beyond to talk to legislatures, to talk to city councils, to actually implement change, to make the needed institutional changes that would prevent these kind of things from taking place, and that would really promote a much greater equality for our black brothers and sisters.
Othman Atta is the director of the Islamic Society of Milwaukee, and we're also talking with Sumaya Abdi, who's a protest organizer and a college student. We are taking your calls at 800-642-1234, wondering how the pandemic has affected Ramadan or other practices in your experience of worship. This is The Morning Show. Here on the Ideas Network, we hear from people who are struggling with not being able to gather together. From family celebrations to national holidays, staying apart to slow the spread of COVID-19 can be difficult. That's true, too, for people of faith who pray and worship together by intention. We're talking about it with two people who are Muslim. This is The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent, and we are taking your calls at 800-642-1234. How has this pandemic changed how you or people you know practice faith? How has it changed your Friday prayer practice? Or what questions do you have about mosques still being closed or plans for how they'll reopen? 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. Othman Atta is the director of the Islamic Society of Milwaukee. He and Sumaya Abdi are our guests. She's a protest organizer and a nursing student at UW-Milwaukee. And Othman, from the end of April through almost the end of May, we saw Muslims around the world taking part in Ramadan. And for those unfamiliar with Ramadan, remind us what it is.
Well, Ramadan is actually the name of the ninth month of the Muslim calendar. It's a month where Muslims fast, do not consume any food, beverages, anything from basically dawn to dusk. And for the Muslim community, it's actually probably the most active time of the year. A lot of social activities, a lot of prayers, families getting together, a lot of outreach, especially for the poor, feeding programs and so forth. So it's really traditionally the most busy time of the year for the Muslim community and for Muslim organizations.
And Othman, I do want to say, I'm saying help us understand. And what I'm really saying is, how can we as listeners understand? I certainly want to make sure that we're not creating any additional division. How is Ramadan different this year than how it's traditionally practiced?
Well, because of the closure, we actually closed down our mosques. We ended the five daily prayers in the mosque. All of the special programs that we have during Ramadan were canceled. We tried to move everything online. So, for example, we, during Ramadan, would have a nightly reading from the Muslim scripture. We could not do that because of the closure, so we tried to move it online. The online effort worked. I mean, I think that we were able to engage a large part of the community. People were concerned about not being able to do a lot of the things that they were accustomed to. But overall, I think, given all the difficult circumstances, everything went fine. But what was more important, and this was something from our religious leaders from the beginning, they indicated that safety of people's lives, is much more important than anything else, including prayers and other things, like, you know, congregational meetings and programs. And so the emphasis that our religious leaders, in consultation with physicians and others, was, look, we will not put anyone at risk, not from our community, not the community at large. And so we had to do things differently. And I think overall what we were able to do worked out fine. I think that people appreciated it. And the silver lining was many people were actually able to spend more time with their families, whether in worship or just in conversation. And so there was a bit of a silver lining to it as well.
That idea, though, that staying safe, staying healthy is more important than some of the really critical traditions of Ramadan. I mean, I don't think you have to be Muslim to understand that people who are devout might take issue with that. I mean, how did you talk with people about that so that they understood the importance of public health and that it didn't necessarily conflict with their beliefs?
You know, there's in every community, among every faith, you're going to have those individuals who kind of have a fatalistic attitude. It's like, oh, you know, God will take care of us. And unfortunately, that's the wrong kind of attitude. What our religious leaders made very clear that according to, religious requirements, the preservation of life and safety and security actually takes precedence over any kind of worship services. And so that message was made very clear with many examples given from, the Islamic scriptures and, historically and so forth. So I think that we got the message out loud and clear. And in fact, we actually are still closed. We have a committee that includes religious leaders and physicians and other experts, and we're kind of putting together a program of how we will open. For example, everyone will have to wear masks. There will be social distancing. We have a ritual washing that usually takes place. That will be canceled at our centers. They will have to do that at home so that we don't put people at risk. Again, even till now, the priority is safety and security for everyone, because even if people come to pray, they're going to still go out to their families, to the community, and we want to make sure that we're not spreading that virus to others. And so that's the priority.
And Sumaya, how has the pandemic affected your religious practices this year? What do you see yourself doing differently?
I guess the whole Masjid shutdown was kind of something that we had to get used to, because since Ramadan, most of our religious practices are at the mosque. So we kind of had to reset ourselves and kind of make everything at home. And I feel like, especially within Muslim communities, we're very social like creatures. Like, we love going to each other's houses or, you know, to the mosque. And we kind of had to get used to not be doing that, you know, in order not to endanger anybody. So that was kind of something new. But I feel like it wasn't as hard as I thought it would be.
Why did you think it would be hard?
Just like, this is kind of like a first time for everybody, you know, like in all my 19 years, you know, Ramadan was always at the masjid, all my prayers, you know, Friday prayers, everything was always at the mosque or within people. And now suddenly, you know, I was closed off only into my house. So I thought that was going to be like really hard to get used to. And I'm sure other people felt the same way.
Sumaya Abdi is a protest organizer, also a nursing student at UW Milwaukee. We're also talking with Othman Adda, who's the director of the Islamic Society of Milwaukee. And Sumaya, we talked about the fact that you organized this protest. And I wonder, as we're talking about the pandemic, what kind of precautions did you and other protesters take to stay safe from the coronavirus while also standing up in this way?
Yeah, we definitely had to consider like the pandemic and its effects into our protest. So like when I made the flyer, I said, oh, you know, we have to have like mandatory face masks and social distancing within like, you know, the protest. And everybody just kind of had to remind themselves, you know, to like the effects of the pandemic and stuff like that.
So there was a balance. Did people show up protecting themselves?
Yeah, majority of the people showed up with their masks and or cloths or something kind of that nature. Sorry, and we kind of just, you know, kept our distance and stuff like that.
Sure. And I guess more to protect other people when you wear the mask so that you don't infect others if you happen to have, you know, this really contagious disease. And Othman, whether it's because of the pandemic or these protests, we've heard from faith leaders calling for solidarity across religions so that we can heal as a community, as a country. How will we work toward that?
I think we just have to put more effort into it, especially in reaching out to government officials. I mean, the Islamic Society has now for years were involved with the Interfaith Conference of Greater Milwaukee. We have a center in Brookfield, which is part of the Brookfield Elm Grove Interfaith Network. We're involved in, other organizations, including MICA in the central city of Milwaukee and other things. I think we need to, as different people of different faith communities, we all recognize and appreciate the diversity that of humans, and we all have as part of our beliefs that we are equal and that everyone should be treated equally and with respect. I think, though, that we have to move beyond just speaking among ourselves and agreeing that, yeah, this is what we all believe in, to really push together for real change in the society, in whether it's regarding how the police is structured, to some of the institutional racism that exists. How do we get beyond that? The African-American community and the civil rights movement, actually a lot of groups, including Muslim groups, have actually benefited from the struggles that the African-American community has went through over, decades and even centuries. But for the civil rights movement, obviously, for decades. But we need to make sure that those changes, those improvements also are improvements that will be seen by the African-American community, that they will feel much more comfortable, that they won't feel a hesitation, you know, going out, whether it's jogging or anything else in society. I mean, just the fear that they are experiencing the bigotry and the racism that exists in institutions. We have to work together as religious communities and people with no religion at all. It doesn't matter. We have to all work together on making those changes and improvements.
Othman, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
And Sumaya, thank you. We appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
Sumaya Abdi is a protest organizer and a student, and Othman Atta is the director of the Islamic Society of Milwaukee. And we should say later today, the funeral of George Floyd is taking place at the Fountain of Praise Church in Houston, Texas. Floyd's killing in Minneapolis has sparked worldwide protests. Join us for live coverage as he's laid to rest in his hometown. That's today at 11 o'clock right here on Wisconsin Public Radio.